rush hour. This is the place where the five cars collided in a long string, as though they were trying to become each other, the way you want to become your lover, as if it were possible to draw him through you as you draw hot water through a sieve, until the water understands the sieve. But whatever water is, it is not what we are. The five cars, sharp and hard, their steel bodies breaking through bone. This is the corner where the husband hunted down his wife through the rush hour traffic. She ran between the cars, and as she was running, her terror beating through the city like an awful drum, he cut her, and still she continued to run. Is this fate, this useless thing that hangs like an unfinished sentence? Can you call this thing by the name of death? Between your knees, you hold the blue notebook and your cheap paperback copy of Myths, a poor translation, the covers closed deliberately as eyelids over the words, hero, tragedy, fate. When you were young and unemployed, the story of Icarus moved you. You wept right here on a bus on Portage Avenue, thinking, irony, irony. Thinking that you knew this city, this sieve of a city. Can you lift your eyes and look at this corner? The ice cream store, the park with its footbridge and kites, the small ducks circling the pond. The moment has leaked into everything here. The words, broad daylight, witnesses. You heard there was one young man, a stranger, who stood above her desecrated body with a shovel, protecting her, although she was already lifeless. But aren't they alive, if we believe they are alive? From the window, you think you can see your friend Colette, her brown arms swinging loose before her. Then she is gone, nothing there but the winter rain. Was he afraid when he faced that madman of a husband? Did he believe himself immune to hunting knives? These are questions you cannot ask because she died. Because he has returned to his obscurity, his ordinary life. He returned suddenly, completely. You watch the chain of headlights snaking through the dusk. You feel you could pick it up at one end and whip it like a string of Christmas lights above your head. You are angry. You are angry. You are less than angry. You are a small, defeated thing. You once stood at the bus depot, counting out your coins to buy a ticket. You were 15. You were leaving this city. You were never going to come back. You remember how that felt. But the streets pull you. They pull you through them until you are made to understand. And here you are, still, with your notebook, the book of myths, half open and already too well read. This trade, you think, is like the undertaker's trade. To imagine, here on the white sheet, the semblance of breath. The whole city lies before you, limp and flayed like a skinned fish. You are tired. They say there is a kind of beauty among the children in the streets. the condoms and the bleached needles they clutch like holy candles in their chapped hands. The names of their mothers and sisters inked deep into their arms. You do not find this beautiful. Colette was beautiful before she drowned, and the young wife, too. But you are giving up this search for beauty. You start to put your faith in giving up. It looks good to you. Although you have passed the corner where she bled to death in daylight, she is still with you. She is with all of us. She is this long ride home from the hospital, this city you have never been able to leave behind you. Its 12 mighty bridges, its pigeons, its people who skate on the rivers at night, gliding over thin ice, eyelashes dusted with frost. She is in every lamppost, every crack in the cement. Perhaps she believed she would escape. So many people, broad daylight when she fell, when she was falling. You read that the young stranger saw the garden shovel lying in a neighbor's yard and grabbed it up and ran into the traffic. He claimed he did it without thinking. Without thinking, this is the way you want to live now. Your father once got lost near here, the white cane useless in his hands as he forgot what year it was. The Nazi tanks were coming for him through that blank and muddy space between the trenches, a dream from which he could never open those eyes. He told you many times, there are no heroes. He can only hear the city. He can only feel his way along its haunted, rumbling streets. And haven't you felt it too? Nights when the blue and white tower of the CBC station seems to bow before a power greater than the wind. And this thin strip of meat we call the avenue twists and flips like a ribbon come loose from a parcel. Isn't it true that if Daedalus pinned his waxed wings to the shoulders of this city's wealthiest son, he would refuse to rise? The tower persists. It is a great brain, a tall electric brain, and its white multiple eye looks through you. When you sit with your notebook in some coffee shop on Portage Avenue, and the rain comes down, the sirens moan, the waitress leans her cheek against the window, and for a moment, both of you believe you can hear the city breathing. You are both tired. You want to be done. At the corner of Portage and Main, you look up at the tall, windowed gods of your city, brooding over their vast holdings, and you start to believe in the death of heroes. And that's when you need to remember the young man with the shovel, how he offered up all that he owned, his red veins for hers that were draining, his pumping heart for hers that was pierced and had stopped. He stood between the blade and the body of this woman he had never known. He said, "This is the one thing here that is human. I will honor it."